Today from Chuck Swindoll.
My hope is that you will gain some discernment where you have put things on neutral. You will put your mind back in gear. So you will literally be engaged in what will be an answer for our times rather than simply swept along with the problems of our day. But I urge you, sons and daughters of Issachar, to play your part in doing what ought to be done.
The global pandemic has taken center stage in the news, but it's really the backstory that deserves our attention. Beneath the surface, our culture is suffering from a corrosive disease that's damaging our confidence in God. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to look at the second chapter of 1 John, where we find this bold warning: do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Chuck titled today's message, The Disturbing Realities of Our Times.
All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, brought to completion, and to every good work. Our desire every time we open the Scriptures is to seek to find the voice of God speaking to us in personal ways that address life as it really is. And today is no exception. I'm reading for you from the letter John wrote, titled 1 John, located toward the end of your New Testament. John wrote three letters in this order that they appear in our Bibles, and today I'm reading from the second chapter of 1 John, and then we'll pick up three verses out of chapter 4. May we stand together for the reading of God's Word. 1 John 2, beginning at verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. And now it is already in the world. May God be honored in our reading and the preaching and then the living out of his word. You may be seated.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Disturbing Realities of Our Times.
Don't you just sometimes shake your head and wonder, what on earth is going on? What on earth is happening in this world? We've come upon tough times. And when I say that, you're immediately going to think economics, and of course, that is a part of it, but that certainly isn't all of it. That isn't even most of it. What really concerns any well-informed believer is the insidious nature of the erosion of our times. That's what's going on. That's what we find impossible to get our arms around. It's even difficult to find a chunk big enough to pull away and chew on long enough to make sense out of it. Well-informed believers certainly should not be surprised that our times have turned in this direction. Jesus himself, during his earthly ministry, predicted such times as these. He told us there would be days of tribulation. Many would fall away. He warned of betrayal and hatred and murder and vice. He stated that lawlessness would not only occur, it would increase. That many false prophets would arise. And most people's love would grow cold. So when this is happening, why should we be surprised? As Jesus left the earth and turned the torch of responsibility over to his apostles, they picked it up and ran with it. They spoke boldly. They wrote forcefully. None more so than the Apostle Paul, who saved some of his most strategic stories and challenges for a friend named Timothy, who would take up the torch from him. He said to Timothy, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase after demonic illusions. What a statement. And before he is beheaded, Paul leaves these words to Timothy. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead as the end approaches. People are going to be, and then he gives a litany of our times. They're going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, profane, contemptuous of parents. They're going to be crude and coarse, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. So writes Eugene Peterson in The Message as he renders 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. There's nothing to surprise us then when we read what we read and see what we see and hear what we hear. I was so moved by all of this that in the last time we were together and looking over the section of Scripture that we're looking at again today, I felt not enough was said by way of application. Now, normally, you who are a part of our ministry know that we'll go from verse to verse and take the section of Scripture and then work our way through the words and the unfolding of the narrative and then draw the application. Today it seems a good day for me to pull away from that style and approach the same passage in another way. I've decided to look at the things like the world and Antichrist and our times through the perspective of the 21st century so that you will see how relevant Scripture really is. When John the Apostle says, don't love the world or the things in the world, he really understood what our times would be like as he wrote of the last days. In fact, 6 times in 3 verses, 15, 16, and 17, the term cosmos appears. The system, the world system, that is headed by Satan, that leaves God out, that is hostile to Christ and Holy Scripture. That's the world. That's what you're not to love. Now, difficulty is that's the world in which we live. That's what characterizes our times. I am not a witch hunter. I don't see the devil behind every bush. But you need to know there is a conspiracy going on. There is an invisible war being waged. If you don't see that, you will be hopelessly confused. Under God's permissive will, this world is running its wicked course, filled with lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, and all under the guidance of the one he allows to have his way for a while, even Satan. In fact, John writes in verse 18 that it is the last hour, and just as you heard, Antichrist is coming. I believe that is a reference to a real individual, a person, a powerful, persuasive, tyrannical, brutal, brilliant individual who will come holding out empty words of hope to the gullible, signing a peace treaty in the Mideast to settle that eternal conflict, and sucking the attention and the adoration of this gullible world under his influence. Antichrist is coming. Verse 18. Even now, many antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour. And again, in chapter 4 of this same letter, verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the antichrist, of which you have heard that it, that is, the spirit is coming and now is already in the world. Let's understand this many antichrist. First, the word anti can mean one of two things, obviously, against. So the spirit of antichrist will be a spirit that works against the person, the work, the plan of Christ. Anti also can mean instead of. So it could be a reference to a counterfeit Christ. Someone who comes on the scene offering hope and answers and solutions, energized by the adversary himself and having his way and sway over this world that has lost its way. Antichrist, against Christ, instead of Christ, the pseudo-Christs, of which there are many. And we know by this that it is the last hour. I've spent a great deal of time preparing for this message, and I would ask for your concentrated attention for the next few minutes. Don't let your mind wander. There is one thing for sure, and that is the enemy of our souls does not want you either to hear or to take seriously what I'm going to be saying. Without in any way calling attention to myself, my desire is to make you aware of what is occurring in the day in which we live, what is changing, where it seems to be leading. Before we analyze that further, I want you to go from here back to a rather unknown section of the Scriptures, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Will you go there, please? Those ancient books run in this order: Kings, Samuel, and then Kings, and then Chronicles. Locate 1 Chronicles. There are two books, but this is the first book of Chronicles, chapter 12, and we'll look at just one verse. Verse 32. The context of 1 Chronicles 12 would be the days of battle when Israel was fighting for its existence. This would be in the days of David, and then later would be other kings. In the midst of the fight, in the midst of David's desire to bring order and direction in the chaotic world of Israel, God raised up a small body of men called the Sons of Issachar, 1232. Of the Sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. It's a small cadre of warriors, but courageous, and as we shall see, discerning and decisive. Steve Farrar does a fine job with the men of Issachar in his book titled Standing Tall. I quote from Steve's book. The men of Issachar had discernment. He understood their times. The men of Issachar had direction. They had a knowledge of what Israel should do. Farrar continues, they saw what others didn't see. They looked behind the physical events and circumstances and realized there were spiritual forces influencing the conditions of the nation. That's why the men of Issachar were so valuable. They had discernment. They could stare a hole right through the obvious and see what wasn't obvious. Because of their discernment, they were then able to offer direction. They understood their culture and the forces at work behind the scenes. Because of that, they knew what Israel should do. I'm honest when I say that I would wish that there would be raised out of our ranks at Stonebriar Community Church, sons and daughters of Issachar. I would pray that God would cause a number of you, of us, to become people of discernment in our times, people with the courage to see what is really happening, and then to operate our lives based on what we know our nation ought to do. My words are not designed to be political in direction, though they certainly would include that world that has such an impact on our times. My words have to do with the politics of our day, the morality of our day, the directionless, hopeless morass of the great majority of those who live in these United States, to say nothing of those around the world. My hope is that as a result of a message like this, you will gain some discernment where you have put things on neutral. You will put your mind back in gear. So you will literally be engaged in what will be an answer for our times rather than simply swept along with the problems of our day. It will not be easy. It is never easy to think for yourself. It is never easy to act among the minority. But I urge you, sons and daughters of Issachar, to see what is occurring and then to play your part in doing what ought to be done. Let me share with you now three troubling changes as I witness the world in which we find ourselves. I've given you an outline with room there to write. And even though you may not normally do this in a church service, I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to write down some of the things you hear. Find a pen and move along with us. Even in my own lifetime, I have witnessed three very troubling changes. Many of you could speak for me with the same conviction. The first of the three is this: the blurring of the line between right and wrong. The blurring of the line that separates truth from error. Why, we are in such a weird time. How dare anyone call anything wrong, huh? What a strange time in which to live. We are watching a move from a wholesome standard of morality to a wholesale and undiscerning emphasis on tolerance. There's another change that's occurring these days that is troubling, and that is the growing ignorance of biblical knowledge. The growing ignorance of biblical knowledge. There was a time, even in my lifetime, when theological thinking and biblical understanding and doctrinal truth became our guide for living. If the scripture said it and it therefore became truth for us at the time, then that was our guide. If scripture addressed it, that's where we started. If scripture stated it, that's what we believed. There's a third concern of mine. It's a change in our day. That is the intensifying embrace of postmodernism. The intensifying embrace of postmodernism. The result of this is that we have clearly shifted from, hear this, from a Christian era to a post-Christian era. We've changed our thinking based from objective instruction on the truth of Holy Scripture to the subjective, secular thinking based squarely on humanism, where self is always predominant.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll is teaching from 1 John, and he titled today's message, The Disturbing Realities of Our Times. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. In many ways, the convergence of the global pandemic and postmodernism has created the perfect storm. The end result for many is a foreboding sense of alienation. We're in the world, but we feel isolated by these two competing forces. Please stay with us to hear Chuck's closing word of encouragement. At Insight for Living, we believe that living in a postmodern world requires that Christians become equipped with the promises of God's Word. Yet many people feel unqualified to study the Bible on their own. Well, to help you get started, Chuck has written a practical commentary on 1 John. It's part of the Swindoll's Living Insights New Testament Commentary set. And this particular volume includes not only 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but the book of Jude as well. To purchase a hardbound copy for your personal library, go to insight.org/offer or give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. And bear in mind, it's not the purchase of resources that fuels the Ministry of Insight for Living. We rely on voluntary contributions from friends like you to make these daily programs possible. And if you're among those who give, we're profoundly grateful for your support. In fact, your comments and your tangible gifts have meant far more than you know. Chuck?
Thank you, Dave. How can it be that Cynthia and I have been isolated for several weeks on end, but have never felt a more intimate relationship with our listening family? It's really true. Most mornings, long before the sun rises, Cynthia and I sit in our family room or on our back porch, just quietly talking together, and our fondness toward listeners like you is often the subject. How odd that God would use these isolated moments hunkered down in our respective caves to draw us together with a stronger sense of unity than we've ever known before. We are truly in this pandemic together. Maybe his isolation in a cave inspired David to say of his Lord, "For you, God, are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory." As we shelter in place, let's remember we are not alone. First, our faithful Lord is never absent from any of us. Let's hide our souls in Him. Second, though the miles may separate you and me, we are never apart. And third, of this be absolutely certain, Insight for Living is right here for you, just as you were there for us. We have a critical deadline coming on June the 30th. It's the day we close our financial books on another year of ministry. And let me assure you, this isn't an arbitrary date. Next year's ministry hangs in the balance as we wait on God's people to financially supply what we need in order to continue. I know many people are struggling financially right now. Insight for Living Ministries is also struggling in a serious way as well. Please, as you are able, send a generous donation and do that today. Your gift is urgently needed to touch men and women who are isolated in God's hiding place. They desperately need to hear the life-giving songs of victory. You can be the one to help make that possible. Can I count on you to respond today? I believe I can.
Let me give you several different ways to respond to Chuck Swindoll. Some find it easy to simply pick up the phone and give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, our number is 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or you can easily give a donation online at insight.org. Our web address one more time is insight.org. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll describes the disturbing realities of our times, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Disturbing Realities of Our Times, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.